In the name of Jesus. As we continue to position ourselves at your feet on this morning, God, I pray that you continue to uproot those things that have been sown into the hearts and the minds of your people that are not of you, Lord God, every lie, every tactic of the enemy, every insecurity, every sin, every fear, Lord God. I pray that as we continue in worship on this morning, that you utterly demolish everything that is attached to us, everything that may be within us, Lord God, that was not sent by you, everything that's been holding us back, every trauma, everything we have anointed to be a trigger, Lord God, help us to understand that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that nothing can have power over us unless we relinquish that power. But on today, God, I pray that you teach us how to walk in the power that has been given us through Jesus Christ, through the cross of Christ on this morning. Father, I don't care if it's been in the family line for generations. I don't care if it's something that happened in our childhood. I don't care if it's something that we did on our own. God, I decree and declare that in your presence, everything that is not of you shall and will be destroyed, so that your people can walk in the purposes that you have created them to do, that we will be who you created us to be, that we will no longer walk in the hypocrisy of this world, but we will be examples of your Son, Jesus the Christ. I decree and declare, even in this atmosphere right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, everything that the enemy has been yoking us with, we will be free from it today, God. I decree and declare, Lord God, that every sin and every weight will be destroyed in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare, even before the word goes forth, Lord God, that every principle and precept that does not align with your word, oh God, we will reject it and renounce it in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that the deliverance that your people stand in need of, oh God, shall be ours. I decree and declare, Lord God, that the restoration your people stand in need of shall be ours. I decree and declare everything that you sent this word to do will accomplish it. It will not return to you void in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare we will be the real women. I decree and declare, God, in the name of Jesus, that the healing and deliverance we receive, we won't forfeit it, oh God, but we'll stand in it, we'll walk in it, and we'll keep maintaining it from this day forth. I decree and declare, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, your children's freedom. I decree and declare right now our freedom. I decree and declare by the power of your might and the power of your word and the power of your spirit that we will be freed from every sin, from every weight, from every transgression, from every issue, from every mindset, from every way in the name of Jesus, God. Accept this word. Accept this word as an act of worship unto you, God. Oh, this is my prayer, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah and amen. Amen and hallelujah, God. Amen and hallelujah. Amen and hallelujah. I'm going to read for our hearing again our scripture. And I'm just going to give this disclaimer. I don't know how this word can really go today. I'm almost certain it's not going to go the way I intended, but it's going to go the way God intends. Amen. And I make no excuses for it and no apologies. Amen. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Somebody shout out, it's time for true transformation. It's time for true transformation. And let me just say, in my studies this week, in my time with the Lord, I was going a different way up until Friday. Y'all can have y'all seats in the sanctuary. Amen. Up until Friday. And if you follow me, or if you follow the ministry, or if you follow Pastor Tanya or Pastor Tammy Copeland, you will know that for the last few months now, every single Friday has been Triple Threat Friday, where three ministries come together in prayer back to back. We start off at 6 a.m. with Scripture DC and Pastor Tanya McAllister Miller, combined both her names, Jesus, at 6 a.m. again with Scripture DC. Then we slide on over to Sail Out Time of Refreshing, which is the prayer ministry I started about 8 or 9 years ago at this point. And then at 7 a.m., we slide on over to Ambassador Builders at 7 a.m. We're with Pastor Tammy Copeland. And on this past Friday, the Lord felt like dealing with his people. He dealt with us. He whooped us. We couldn't say nothing but ouch and amen. And on yesterday, he said to me, daughter, I'm not finished yet. Because I don't think y'all fully grasp what it is I'm trying to do in and through you. And I don't think you all fully grasp what it means to be my children, my people, in this year, 2023. So here we are. And the Lord said to me, you know, we're living in a time where, because of comfortability with worldly practices, that we as Christians view holy and righteous living as an on and off again choice, depending on how we feel, instead of a constant standard because of God's command. We want to live convenient lives when it comes to our walk, where we can build godly living around our daily routines instead of building our daily routines around godly principles. You know the things that we do. We make choices to do things, to be with people, to go places without consulting God. We feel like because we're grown and we're old enough to do whatever we want to do, we do whatever we want to do without any consideration to how it makes us look in the eyesight of God or man. Many of us have begun to totally disregard the word of God in the area of our walk as we straddle the fence between worldly living and righteous living, to preserve our own image, to feel good about ourselves, or to not be classified as holier than thou. You know, we make the mistake of saying, it don't take all of that. Or I don't want to be like the old saints who couldn't have no fun, they didn't do anything, they didn't go anywhere, all they talked about was Jesus, all they modeled was Jesus, as if that was something that was wrong of them to do. It is sad, but it has become more important about how people see us than how they see Christ through us. We are living in a time where many don't purposely take the time out to talk about holy and righteous living in our families, and then wonder why our families are crazy as. But I can remember growing up where our parents and our spiritual leaders, they cared for us, they taught and protected our spirits from being bombarded with negative and evil words and images. We wonder why our society is so violent, why our children have no respect, and why things seem to be just out of control. We wonder why in 2023 all of these things are happening. This generation seems to be lost. We put so much on their shoulders without taking accountability for the fact that we did not model Christ correctly in front of them. We wonder why people don't want to come to our churches when they see us cussing folk out on Tuesday, lying on Thursday, laying on Saturday, but trying to come in the house of God with hands lifted up on Sunday. We wonder why. And we say, well, shame on them. Help me, Holy Ghost. It ain't shame on them. It's shame on us. It ain't shame on them because they don't want a relationship with the Lord. It's shame on us because some of us are the reason why they don't want a relationship with the Lord. All they got to do is go on social media and see all the nonsense that we fight about, post about, lie about, build platforms on, lie on God about. You wonder why they don't? Mm-hmm. Now, I know some of us are thinking, well, it does say in the word, you know, in Acts, that in the last and evil days, perilous times will come. And yeah, that's true. But let me just push the envelope by saying that if we as followers of Christ were more concerned about spreading the gospel of Christ instead of gossip, if we were more concerned about standing on his word and living righteously in this world, if we were more concerned with fulfilling God's agenda instead of building our own platforms, if we were more concerned about lifting up Christ to be seen in us, then we would be able to make a change in this world. It's not that we don't have power. It's just that we relinquish some things because we don't want to walk right. You would think after everything we experienced during the pandemic that the church, the people of God, would have come back ready to be in right standing with God, ready to be in right relationship with God. But the majority of us were so ready to get back to our normal that we went right back to our normal ways. Normal sin, normal lying, normal hypocrisy, normal slipping and dipping, being a normal stench in the nostrils of God instead of getting back into alignment. I said it. We're a normal stench in the nostrils of God. In our text today, we see the Apostle Paul continuing in his doctrinal teachings concerning Christian duties and our relationship to God, and declaring to us another plea. Here in the beginning of our text, we actually see the fourth therefore in the letter of Romans. Our first therefore is found in Romans 3 and 20, where we find the therefore of condemnation, declaring that the whole world is guilty before God, but because of the cross, there is now no more condemnation. In Romans 5 and 1 is the therefore of justification, and Romans 8 and 1 is the therefore of assurance. And now here in Romans 12 and 1, we have the therefore of dedication. And it is a dedication that is the basis for the other relationships that Paul discusses in this section of the letter. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In this text, Paul is pleading with all the believers to live in the state of holiness unto God by reminding us of the condition or state our lives should be lived in conjunction with our relationship with Jesus Christ. This pleading comes as a result of the understanding of the therefore in this text. Before reaching this juncture of scripture, Paul has consistently outlined his teaching with the life of Christ, what he did on the cross for us, what he provided through the cross to us, and the continual benefits the cross provides for us. It is because of these aspects of the cross that Paul arrives to the conclusion that because of all of the provisions by the way of the cross, we should view holy and righteous living as a given honor to live before the Lord. If I could bottom line this whole verse into a declaration for living, it would look something like this: presenting yourself in an honorable and holy manner unto the Lord by living a sacrificial life and dying to oneself on a daily basis should come as an automatic and continual decision of gratitude because of the cross of Christ. Let me break it down a little further. Because you understand that Jesus decided to come and be your propitiation, because you understand that you and Jesus switched place on the cross, because the truth of the matter is it was our sin penalty that needed to be paid. It was our debt that should have been exemplified on the cross. Jesus, instead, he became the one to take on our sins because we could never pay the penalty. Mankind, even if all of us actually died on our own cross, it still would not be enough, hallelujah, to pay the sin penalty. But Jesus took it upon himself to die on the cross to bring us into relationship with the Lord, to provide eternal salvation, to give us power through his Holy Spirit while we are here. And it's because of those facts that while we are here and while we profess him as our Savior and Lord, that we honor God by the way that we
by daily dying to ourselves and living unto him, by daily crucifying our flesh, by daily bringing everything under subjection to the power of the Holy Spirit, not doing a single thing out of alignment for the word. It is an honor, because it was an honor to walk with God. It was an honor for his blood to shed. It was an honor for him to give up the ghost. It was an honor for him to lay in that grave. It was an honor for us, so we ought to be able to honor him. But the question begs to differ. How can we live in this automatic and continual? This honor that we get to live before God, it should be a continued state of holiness. But how do we achieve that? How do I, Pastor, after coming out of the world and living in ways that were comfortable and pleasing to my flesh, now live in a state pleasing unto God? Well, Paul answers our question, church, right here in the text. He says, and do not be conformed to this world. First, I want to say that this particular text is not a suggestion, but it is a command. Mm-hmm. He isn't saying if you choose not to be, he's telling us, we really have no other choice but not to conform. Do not be conformed to this world. The Greek translation for conformed is fashion alike or to take on. In essence, Paul is saying, do not allow yourself in any way to display any characteristics of this world. Don't take on the world's attribute. But let me say, I believe this command by Paul has an even deeper significance. Not only is he saying to us, don't change our image to reflect that of the world, but also don't allow ourselves to fall victim to returning to a state that Christ has already delivered us from. Once you and I accepted Christ, we became children of light. In the fifth chapter of Ephesians, around the eighth verse, it says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You and I have already been delivered from living a life of darkness, and we have been called to walk in the newness and light of Christ, which means don't lower your godly standards because the world has given permission or authority to change because of the outcries of some. Remember, we are in this world, but not of this world. Stand on the authoritative word of God despite what goes on around you. That means if your friends don't like how you change, then they know they shouldn't be your friends no more. It don't mean that you don't pour into them, but they shouldn't be having a word to pour into you if that word is trying to change who God is trying to make you into. Matter of fact, if I could be honest, it isn't that God is trying to make us into anything. He is trying to reshape us and reimage us into who he created us before we got tainted by this world. Do not be conformed. Hallelujah. That means you shouldn't, people shouldn't be seeing you slumps, nasty, lazy, slumpy, drunk because you got issues or you don't know how to deal with it. That means you shouldn't be running around here with people, laying up with people that you are not married to. You should not be out here fornicating, and I don't care what anybody on social media says. If you are not married and you are engaged in sexual activity, you are fornicating. It's not of God. You should not be an adulterer calling yourself a child of God, married to the one that God has allowed you to, whether it was his perfect will or permissible will, but you still tipping and dipping with people that you don't have a covenant with. It means you shouldn't be out here doing illicit drugs. You shouldn't be out here cussing folks out. You shouldn't be out here doing whatever is pleasing unto the flesh. You shouldn't be out here saging. You shouldn't be out here trying to tap into no third eye. You shouldn't be out here in a hookah club. You shouldn't be out here half day. You shouldn't be looking like the world. I don't care what they say. If what they say don't align with what he said, you ought not do it. Yeah, they may say, oh, who she think it's not who I think I am, it's who I know I am, and I'm a child of God, and I'm here to represent Christ. I'm not here to represent me. We're not here to represent who we are, what we want to do. We are here to represent Jesus. Do not be conformed to this world. Stop allowing everything and anything that enters into your mind and heart dictate to you the manner in which you live, but by the power and the aid of the Holy Spirit, learn to bring every thought under subjection. Stop walking around spreading gossip and spread the gospel. Stop walking around promoting negativity and learn to build each other up. Help us, Jesus. Stop listening to the music that goes against every principle of God's kingdom and start storing in your heart songs and scriptures that will strengthen you in your time of need. Stop being overly concerned about your outward appearance, but be more concerned about your inward appearance, about the way you represent the one you profess to follow. When you profess Christ as Savior and Lord, the world does not separate you from who you follow, nor will they separate your lifestyle from God's ability. Watch this, and neither should we. We should not live in ways in which we portray God's grace cheap before the world, or before God. When you live double-minded, when we straddle the fence, we're first of all telling God, I don't care, I love you enough to even work towards keeping your commandments. And we tell the world that the God that we serve really don't have the power we said he do.
Oh my God. My God.
Now, it's not that he doesn't, right? But if you've been walking with the Lord 15 years and you're still doing the same thing, but you crying out, God is my healer, God is my deliverer, God is my way maker, but they still see you unhealed, still doing the same stuff, they're going to question, well, what power does your God really have? Because when I met you, you was an alcoholic. Now you've been with the Lord for 15 years, and you're still an alcoholic. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't have the power to do it. It means that you haven't relinquished or surrendered yourself for him to do it, but the world doesn't understand the difference. We have allowed the enemy to trick us with lies to say, as long as we ask for forgiveness, he'll forgive us and we can do whatever. No, 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 no. That's conformity. That's not true transformation. And I'm not here to judge or condemn anybody, because we've all had seasons in our life that we thought we were surrendered and we really were just conformed. So God had to convict us enough for us to surrender to transformation. But I am clear on my assignment on this morning, and it may not be comfortable, but it's too many of us that get behind this sacred pulpit. It's too many of us that walk through these doors on Sunday morning. It's too many of us that shout hallelujah, that run around the church, that scream, Lord, we love you, that shout when the beat drop from the organ on a drum, but when we leave, we do the same nasty, dastardly things, and we are causing confusion. And it is clear that something else, and God help me, Jesus, something else is going to break out in 2023. And if we are not in the right position with the Lord, it's time to really get back to the work of making disciples. But the church can't make disciples if we're not mature enough to actually be a disciple. We have to be willing to recognize and to call out our own sin issues. How the old preacher used to say, the proclivities and transgressions of our flesh. We got to be willing to be honest with those, so that God can help us be delivered from them so that we can truly represent him. As disciples of Christ, we have been given to the command to go and make disciples of all the world, but we must stop and ask ourselves, does the way I live draw others to Christ? Or are we pushing them further back into the world? Do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm always glad to see this conjunction, but in the scripture. This one word lets us know that what we have heard so far is not the end, but there is more to this story here. After Paul tells us what not to do, he gives us direction by telling us what we should do. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see, it is not enough to make sure you don't take on the attributes of the world, but you must make a conscious effort to daily renew our minds and hearts for transformation. I'm going to say this again. We must, you and I must make a conscious and powerful decision in guarding ourselves from being conformed or taking on any attributes of the world, but we must simultaneously work and prosper towards being transformed. Transformed in the Greek means to metamorphose or change into. And as I read this text, I kept asking God, why did you choose these two particular words? Why didn't you interchange them and say, don't be transformed into this world, and why not be conformed by the renewing of your mind? And as I continue to read it, God revealed to me by having me compare these two words. So let's look at these two words side by side. Again, conform means to fashion alike or take on. And transform means a complete metamorphosis or change into. Here God is showing us, hallelujah, how we have the victory in Christ. It shows us that we don't have to be afraid of being conformed by the world because the ruler of this world has already lost. He doesn't have the authority to change who we are in Christ. He cannot turn us back into the lost creatures we once were because he does not have the ability. He can only do it if we give him permission. What he can do is sneak in and give us false identities through conformity. But when we stand on, when we know, see, the problem is some of us can't be transformed by the renewing of our mind, because we're allowing the wrong things to be poured into our mind. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You can only be transformed by the renewing of your mind if your mind is stayed on God and if your mind is constantly in the Word of God. God is revealing to us the reason that he says transform by the renewing of your mind is because it's not enough to take on the image of God or the image of Christ. But we must be completely changed into the image of Christ. If we were to simply conform into his likeness, we would never truly change in our character. Because conforming only deals with the carnality of our flesh. But true transformation deals with the total change of the inner man as we continue to submit our wills and ways to God as we desire to become more Christ-like. As believers, we have the capacity and the assurance that we can live in such a way that we can reproduce the characteristics of Christ in our lives, that we can bear such a resemblance to him that the world will be able to say, surely these people believe in the Lord. But we gotta understand and be mindful that transformation does not come without submission and pruning. See, that's why some of us haven't been truly transformed in all areas of our lives, because we don't like that pruning. When God starts coming around cutting some people off, shutting down and closing some doors, causing us to feel convicted. We like to run from that real quick. And we attest the change and the shift to the wrong thing and the wrong people. We'll say, oh, the enemy is real busy attacking me. Because no. It ain't always the enemy attacking you. Sometimes it's the Lord trying to grow you up. Sometimes it's the Lord trying to help you be truly transformed. I don't know where and how it happened that at some point that we as believers thought that being transformed into the image of Christ was going to be cute and gentle. We want to bear his resemblance, but we don't want to take none of the beatings. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But the truth of the matter is, the cross wasn't cute or gentle. The crucifixion or the torture of Jesus Christ wasn't cute or gentle. They ravished his body by beating him for hours. Yet when God calls us to pray and fast, we want to cry, oh my God, they got us doing this again. We're doing it again. Sometimes the most painful situations we face are actually graceful moments of growth that God allows us to experience as he makes us over to be more like Jesus. Somebody really needs to know that on this morning. That all of the pain that you have been experiencing isn't an attack. It seems like, I don't know who this is for, but I'm just going to say what God is telling me to say. Because you've been crying out month after month, year after year. God, when is this going to let up? As soon as I feel like I'm in a good place, here comes something else to knock me back. And God is saying, I didn't allow it to knock you back. I actually allowed it to push you forward. But because you have the wrong perspective of what this is and who sent it, you keep allowing yourself to get knocked back. This has been presented for me as a graceful moment because of trying to reveal to you who you are and renounce who they said you were, because you have been so comfortable presenting yourself to me according to what they said you were or what you felt you were, that you are far away from my original design from you. And since because your ear has become dull to me, because the pain that you are experiencing has become louder than my voice, I allow these thorns and I allow these sicknesses and I allow these situations and I allow the separation from people that you thought you needed to occur, because I wanted to give you my grace and grow you, because I'm trying to make you into the image that I first had in mind when I put you in your mother's womb. Because the truth of the matter is, you are greater than they ever expected you to be. And so what the enemy did throughout the course of your life, he kept sending problem after problem, liar after liar, situation after situation to get you further away from me, because he understands that when you stand in your that when you stand in your authority, that you're going to cause destruction to the kingdom of hell, because you are, hallelujah, whoever this for, you are an assigned and designated prophet. prophet of the Lord. You are a designated seer. God, help me today. And the issue is because you have conformed to everything that you have felt and not allowed me to transform, you're not able to operate fully in who I called you to be. But God is saying in this moment and in this hour, he's going to continue to destroy those mindsets, destroy those lies, destroy those things, destroy those insecurities. Help me, Holy Ghost, because the transformation is so that you will rise up and be who he called you to be. Jesus.
My God.
But you've conformed. Conformed. You've conformed. And God is saying, don't feel condemned about the conforming. The truth of the matter is we all have in some way, shape, or fashion. And I don't know who that was just for. Because see, sometimes when we think about conforming, we think just about, help me, Holy Ghost, this is what the Lord is giving me right now. It's not just conforming to a bunch of sinful actions of the world, but it's also just conforming to the expectations of other people and the expectations of yourself. Because your natural sight has caused your spiritual vision to be cloudy. So you haven't been able to accept who you are in God because you conformed into everything you believed about yourself. But on this day of transformation, the Lord is saying, it's time to renew your mind. Your mind has been plagued with so many other thoughts and so many other feelings that has drowned out what God has said in his word and the rhema word that he has spoken to you, that you can't even fathom that what he said is true. And again, I don't know who this is for, and I don't know where we're going, but I hear the spirit of the Lord saying what he said to you about you is true. And what they said about you is a lie. And it's time for you to get back into position and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How can we be transformed?
My God.
When you look up the word transformed in the original Greek, it means to restore to good condition, to make new, or as if new again. As I looked at this and I said, okay, God, how can we transform or renovate? I'm sorry, the word be renewed is the word renovation in Greek. So how can we renew or renovate our minds in the spiritual sense? And God had me think about renovations in the physical. And I'm not, anybody that knows me knows I'm not really a hands-on person, right? Like, I can hand you the tools and I'll give you the stuff and I'll give you some water and some towels. I'll be there and encourage you, but I'm not getting down and breaking down stuff with you. I don't got that strength. The way me and this asthma is set up where I'm trying to be around all that dust. And truth be told, I'm just a girly girl and I just don't want to get dirty like that. But I've watched some shows and I've seen some things, right? And when you look at a renovation, when you look at a house that's being renovated, completely renovated, they tear every wall down. They break out every single thing down just to the studs and to the beams, down to the original foundation of the house. I'm going somewhere. You've never seen a physical complete renovation done and they leave the walls the way they are. They leave the floor. They take out everything. Again, down just to the studs and the foundation of the house. And then once they break the walls down and break everything down, they got to remove the trash. They take out all of the debris. They sweep it up. They clean it up. And then they go to the architect or whoever is designer of how they want the house to look now as they make it over anew. And they rebuild by following a blueprint, the schematics. They go to the owner of the house and say, how do you want this rebuilt? They go back to the owner who has the blueprint. They tear everything down. They get rid of all the garbage and they consult with the owner who has the blueprint. I hope somebody is getting with me. When to renew our minds, we have to undergo a spiritual demolition and tear down what's already there. You cannot begin to rebuild or repair something without first removing the old. Before you can ask God to come in and give you a new mindset, you have to ask God to help you break down those barriers, break down those walls, break down those traumas, break down those hurts, break down those lies, break down those sins, break down those things that have been built up in your life, break down the idols, break down the lust, break down the conformity. You have to ask God, break all of this stuff that has built me over the years into someone that I'm not even recognizable to you. Truth is, I don't even know who I am because I'm so comfortable and so used to everything that I have experienced and who it made me into. Can I tell somebody on today, just because this is what you look like now, if it's not in alignment with the master's blueprint for who you truly are, you don't have to stay this way. You don't have to keep struggling with these addiction issues. You don't have to keep struggling with these defensive mechanisms. You don't have to keep struggling with these suicidal thoughts. You don't have to keep struggling with these generational curses. You don't have to keep struggling with these sins that your flesh like. You don't have to allow the lies of the enemy or the lies of the family or the lies of a perpetrator to continue to be in your heart and mind. But you can cry out, God, break down these walls of sin. God, break down these walls of hurt. God, break down these walls of trauma. God, break down these walls of addiction. God, break down these walls that keep me separated from you. God, break down these walls that keep me out of alignment with the world. God, break this stuff down. Break down the issues. Break down the lies. Break down the pain. God, break it down, but it's not enough to break it down. But you gotta ask of God, get rid of it. Some of us are still in the same place after our original deliverance because God broke it. But when it was time to rebuild, we rebuild with the debris that was still left in our presence. God is saying, no, I want you to be transformed. So when I break down the relationship this time, don't you dare pick up the phone and call him and say, oh, I miss you. That's not you missing him. That's the lies of your flesh saying, I want you back. But the reason God broke it down is because he wanted to be removed because it's not part of his original plan for your life. Breaking down those addictions is going to hurt. It's gonna cause confusion. But don't try and build your life back up with the debris of the things that he has broken. When there's a demolition, they break it down and they get rid of the garbage. And I came on this morning to say we reject and we renounce and we remove the garbage that's still in your heart. The garbage of the one that touched you, who was supposed to protect you. The garbage of the one that was supposed to love you until the end and they broke your heart. The garbage of the trauma of your childhood. The garbage of the trauma from this world. The garbage of the sin that you even committed willingly. Well, I came to remove the garbage. The garbage of the triggers that the world says you could be comfortable with having and just regurgitate it over and over. I renounce that mindset of being triggered. We're not triggered. We have a testimony through Christ because when healing comes, God removes Because he's sitting playing in garbage. We sit around and we sift through the debris. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You ever watch that show, Hoarders? And they all this junk in the house that they really don't need and can't even use. But there's some type of attachment or some undealt issue that makes them keep all this stuff in the house, right? And so when the people come and remove, they say, you can't stay here. Because if you stay here while we're trying to remove the garbage, you're going to find a reason to put things back in the keep pile that we put in the get rid of pile. Can I tell somebody, you've been saying, God, I know you've been doing something different in me. I feel the change. But while I feel the change, God, you've been silent. I feel the shift, but I don't feel like I can hear you. And I don't know who this is for, but God is saying you haven't been able to hear him because he understands if he allows you to take part of the removal process, you'll be like that hoarder that when he turns to get rid of something else in your life, you're playing with the brain and say, no, 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 God, you can't get rid of that. I have it too close to me too long. So God, I'm going to tuck it back here when you think God can't see it. So God is saying, I've been active in your life removing some things and removing some people and removing some mindsets, but I've been silent because I understand if I have communication with you, you all try and go back and forth with me and convince me why these things should stay instead of just accepting that it's time for it to go. I don't know who this is for, but it's time for the garbage to go. Holy Spirit has come on this morning to not only break it down, but to get rid of it, because God is ready for you to be truly transformed. Truly transformed. Truly transformed. He wants to renew your mind on today. He wants to renew your mind on today. Renewal has been evading you because there's still some residue of some situations and some mindsets and some things. And God is saying, I'm coming to do a clean sweep on this morning to renew you. True transformation. Somebody say true transformation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Spiritual demolition. God has to tear down what's there. He has to remove what was torn down. And you have to be willing to follow the master's blueprint. I really want to let that go. But I can't right now. Because the truth of the matter is, some of us are hurt because of the things that God has destroyed.
My God, Jesus. Woo. We are.
Because we have accepted so many false identities and lies as truth. We've accepted the presence of some people that we thought we just had to have in our lives. We have accepted some ways within ourselves that we think is there for our own protection, but it's really just causing destruction. And we don't like the fact that we gotta grow. We don't like the fact that we gotta, we don't like the fact that people don't like the fact that we know we gotta change. We get upset. We have the audacity when somebody like, you changed, as if that's a negative or bad thing. And we get mad at them for saying it, but the truth is we should be mad at ourselves for being mad at them for saying, I ain't changed. I'm still the same tomorrow. No, you ain't. You ain't supposed to be. It is a badge and honor when somebody says, Aisha, you changed from who you was 4 years ago. Leader. Devon, you change. Every time I turn around, you acting different. No, I'm acting more Christ-like. I'm supposed to. Leader too. Ooh, love. I've changed because we've been transformed. Man, you've changed. You're being transformed daily. And there are still some things that you don't fully understand, but God is going to give you revelation. And he's going to give you strength. It's not always easy, especially when the dynamics of your relationships change. But God is going to send you some new friends and some new people. There's a lot of honor who you're trying to become in God. Because although you don't have a full understanding, you do have a full heart to really want to do this thing with God. And he's going to send you people. But we got to be real and willing. Preachers on Facebook, I see y'all. Reverend Simmons, Minister April, Elder Daniels, Pastor Tan. Although where we are is not where we used to be in this season, there's more transformation. God ain't been waking y'all up at these crazy hours for nothing.
Later.
I got y'all later. Because the truth of the matter is, transformation in this season is pivotal for the household of faith. Oh, my Lord's day. Jesus. We got to be willing to be transformed. I really want to get away from get rid of the trash. I really can't. Because some of us don't even realize we've been sitting in trash heaps playing with garbage, smelling to God, but thinking when we come to offer up worship, he's pleased, he ain't pleased. Okay, let me go. So spiritual demolition, you gotta be willing to allow Holy Spirit to not yet de-diamond, tear some stuff down. You gotta ask Holy Spirit to help you get rid of the garbage. But you gotta go back and align ourselves with the Master's blueprint. We cannot begin to be transformed by the renewing of our mind if we are not intentionally taking time to understand the Master's plan. How can we come to know who or to know or understand how we are to live as believers? We will not come to understand the Master's plan if you don't pick up his blueprint. Well, what is his blueprint? The unadulterated word of God. It's not enough to pick up the Bible, preachers, when it's time to preach. Leaders, it's not enough to pick up the Bible when your pastor gives you an assignment. Because the truth of the matter is, what we do pales in comparison to who we are supposed to be. Even leaders, we are children first before we are his leaders. We must remember as we begin to do this to allow the Holy Spirit that is indwelled in us to change our hearts and our minds and transform us into the likeness of our Savior. We must remember that we have a right and responsibility to choose transformation on a daily basis, we must make a conscious effort to submit ourselves to the authoritative rule of the Holy Spirit to rule and to guide us. We must remember that we must actively pursue actions that will enable our transformation. We have to choose actions that help us, enable us to operate in our transformations. We have to submit ourselves to the authority of God, which transforms our hearts, minds, and spirits into the image of God. It is a reasonable service to live right before God. It is a reasonable service to live right in the face of God. Is reasonable. As believers living in this dying world, we must realize our purpose is to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's perfect will does not have three separate working parts, but it has three character attributes working together. We must live in a way that his perfect will is seen through us. Every day, there has to be some evidence of your transformation. There got to be evidence in your walk that you've been transformed. There has to be evidence in your walk, in your speech, in your life on a daily basis that you are being transformed into the image of Christ. It doesn't mean you may not have some slips here and there, but when you are really being transformed, your flesh doesn't win every single day. When you're being truly transformed, you don't give over to the lustful desires of your flesh or the things of your mind or the ways of this world. When you are being truly transformed, you don't reject the conviction that comes through Holy Spirit, but you humble yourselves and you submit and you make the adjustment. Hallelujah. In this season, God is bringing adjustment to his house because we are out of alignment. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, I've never been to a chiropractor, but what I do understand is that when you go to the chiropractor, they push and they pull your back or whatever joint, whatever it is that you're getting worked on, they need you and they push you and they pull and they twist and they turn with different parts of your body to bring you to bring those things back to alignment. Watch this. First of all, to stop the pain. Can I tell somebody on this morning that the reason we've been feeling the pull and the push and the tension in the atmosphere and in our lives, because first of all, God is trying to remove some of the painful situations we've gotten ourselves in by being out of alignment with his will. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So that tension you feel in the relationship isn't just because they're crazy or something is wrong. God is trying to bring you back into alignment because they wasn't never supposed to be connected. You bent and twisted yourself in such a way to be accepted by them. And God was saying, I never wanted you to be accepted by them. I wanted you to disciple to them, but you misunderstood the assignment and thought that was your boo when it was just supposed to be who I was using you to bless. And now you caught up in some stuff and you want all this pain and the tension is to push and pull you back into alignment. The Lord is coming in this season. Matter of fact, the work has already begun. The reason why so many of us who have the sermon feel tension is because the Lord has been coming and pulling and pushing his body to get back out of alignment. Why? Because we have been operating in conformity and not transforming by the renewing of our mind. What does that mean? We got these false prophets giving these false words that's conducive to the flesh of the people, and you got people hollering and falling out by the word, but ain't really changing. God is saying, I'm pushing and pulling it up even, hallelujah, closing the mouths of some of them that are causing dissension in the body because he is sick of his church being out of alignment. Hallelujah. Some of us have mistaken our assignment, and instead of building and walking in his purpose, we've been building platforms that he never assigned to us. And God is saying, the reason why you don't have the words no more is because I never told you to build that platform. I told you to operate in your purpose. So I'm bringing some tension to pull you back into alignment because you have to be conforming to what the world says is acceptable. You have been living by your flesh. You've been trying to raise holy hands on Sunday and raising all hell on Saturday, and then wonder why when you pray to me ain't nothing happening. It's not because I don't have the power. I'm just not listening to you and your conformed ways. There's And he's like, because you conform. You think it's okay to hang out with your friends at certain places and then open your mouth and speak on my behalf. That's conforming.
My God.
You think it's okay to do things in private because don't nobody else know. I know. God is saying, I know that you conformed. And you had the semblance of godliness, but what you're really resembling is conformity. God is saying to the household of faith, he's bringing alignment to the body. Because the truth of the matter is, even on Friday, those of us that heard those words released on Friday, we felt the conviction 6:30 and 7, but we operate in conformity at 8, 9, and 10. And God is like, I didn't give the word for you to be like, oh God, we bless you, we hear you, but you act like you ain't hear nothing I just said. Because it's easy to walk in your flesh. It is. But true disciples that resemble Christ, it's time to operate in true transformation. It's not enough to look like God or look like Christ and not really live like Christ. But you won't know what that is until you renew your mind, until you get in the word, until you submit yourself, until you surrender. And dare I say, even in this moment, and it's not about surrendering in way of relationship, because a lot of us have surrendered and we have relationship, but we don't have righteousness. Because we haven't sacrificed. A living sacrifice is oxymoronic. Because a sacrifice requires death. So for us to be a living sacrifice, it requires something within us to die daily. If you ever been anything like me, there were times I had to ask God to kill some stuff every other hour because it was hard. But we got to be willing, because we understand it's an honor to be a living sacrifice. So again, I pray for whoever this is for, whoever this word was for. It's time for demolition. It's time for us to allow God. And this is what I see right now in my spirit, right? I see God coming into our spiritual homes, and he knocked and we was like, hey, Jesus, come on in. And as he started canvassing the rooms of our heart, and he started demolishing stuff, some of us were like, not this room. Go, no, go in here. No, I'm good with this room. God, I'm good to be a worshiper, but I don't want to do that. I'm trying to get you later, but we can't keep operating in transformation, telling God yes in this area and no in this area, because that's not true transformation. And what we don't even realize is when we allow demolition in one area and not in another, that the debris from that area is seeping into this area and causing further destruction or dismay or the residue to be over that. And God is saying, true transformation. Have us been false reeds for too long? We have. Lord, I repent for last Sunday on the drive. We have. Those that know. You know, I don't care. I'm telling myself, when we was driving back from Maryland, I was sleeping. I I need something to keep me up. And DMX came on. Now, I found the clean version. It took us a little while, right? But by Tuesday, the Lord was like, what is you doing? I was like, but God, that's my go-to. Him and Busta and Missy, because you know their music gets live. You know, I'm a little hood and I'm a little holy. And God was like, I didn't tell you to act like that. You're not hood and holy no more. I destroyed that. And even as comical as that may seem, when we operate in those moments of our flesh, we don't realize the destruction that we allow to creep in. Because we think it's not that serious. One moment of the wrong thing, church, is that serious. So, Father, forgive us for even a lapse of judgment. What was that? God, it's not that serious. It is that serious. Because it's a commingling of flesh and spirit. And it ain't an example of true transformation. I tell you, I ain't never seen that, y'all, that God ain't going to deal with me first. Holy. At all times, not when it's convenient. True transformation is holiness at all times. It's surrender at all times. It's telling God yes at all times. Even when you don't understand it and your flesh is not aligned, we don't care if your flesh is not aligned. Get it into alignment. That's your reasonable service. Okay, I'm done.
Later.
Later, though. 6 o'clock, y'all. I'm sorry. Later. Y'all, later. Just saying. Because it's time for true transformation. That's all I really got. That's what God keeps saying. But it's time for us to allow him to destroy some things within us and remove it. Those mindsets, those disobedient ways, those insecurities, those fears, those traumas. God today, even throughout the rest of the course of this day, God desires to destroy and to remove it because he wants us to be true representations. I'm going to say this one last thing and I'm going to take my seat. It's time for the hypocrisy in the church to die. And it ain't just about the leaders in the church. It should start with the leadership. But every person that opened their mouth and confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's time for you to stop being a hypocrite. And if you are operating in your flesh more than you're operating in the spirit, you can love the Lord all you want, but you're a hypocrite. If you're getting behind the sacred desk and call yourself rightly divine in the word of truth, but you ain't living in no truth, you a hypocrite. If you have a covenant with God and a spouse and you laying with somebody that ain't yours, you a hypocrite. If you ain't even trying to live in purity in your singlehood, but you're talking about the power of God, you are a hypocrite. If you're pouring and encouraging people Sunday through Tuesday, but on Wednesday when that coworker get on your nerve and you let the words fly out your mouth, cursing them out, you a hypocrite. If you're taking communion on Sunday, but on Saturday you cracking that jack and getting drunk out of your mind, you a hypocrite. And God is saying, we crying out for revival like that school in Kansas, and God is like, or wherever that was, and God is like, y'all want the revival, but you don't want to be revived, hypocrites. You want his spirit to break out across the land, but you won't let it break out in you, hypocrite. That's it, I'm done. It's time, I'm really done. It's time for true transformation.